This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Many times last week, different ones would tell me, with the students gone, it is so quiet around here. It's almost dead around here. To have you back, to hear you sing and worship the Lord so energetically, you don't know how much that blesses our hearts. I hope you're glad to be back on this beautiful spring day and study the Word of God here in your classes to be prepared to go out and make an impact for Jesus Christ. That last song, "The King of Glory Has Rescued Me," 38 years and 3 days ago today, the King of Glory rescued me. So, little did I know that 16 years later, I'd have the privilege of coming here and teaching. And I surely didn't think that maybe 12 years after that, 14, 15 years after that, that I would have the privilege of serving you as president. So it's been a joyful journey. 4.5 years ago, so just talking about time, 4.5 years ago, almost to the day, I was up here and the Board of Trustees installed me as your president. And that just filled my heart. And as they asked me about 5 years ago, they were talking to me about, would you serve in this position? I said, I would be truly honored to serve in that way. We began to think through and talk about and discuss what would that future look like if I stepped in this role. So we took that time, and this is a picture of the Board of Trustees and myself. I have a lot more gray hair now than I did in that picture. And there's a globe in my office, so if you come there, and you're more than welcome to come by, there's a globe in my office that has a lot of signatures on it. And this is a picture of the trustees signing that globe, and a couple weeks later, the faculty signed the globe. And they did this as an outward, visible expression of the inner volitional commitment we were making to a certain purpose and vision, or we called at that point direction, our purpose and direction. So we took the time 4.5 years ago to re-articulate the purpose we've had here on campus for almost 90 years. And the summary is, which is behind the screen up on the wall, to know Him and to make Him known. We worded it like this. CIU's purpose is to educate people, you, from a biblical worldview, so that you might impact the nations with the message of Christ. So the trustees signed that, the faculty signed that, and I keep that globe in my office, and every morning when I walk in, I look at that globe, and it reminds me, this is the purpose here. Now, why is that? Why is that? It's because here at CIU, we desire that everyone hears the good news everywhere so Christ is worshipped by the nations. That drives us. And this morning, I was reading my devotional time. I came to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. And Jeremiah says, now the context here, he's talking about speaking judgment to the nation of Judah. But the principle still holds true for all of us. This is CIU right here. But if I say, I will not speak anymore in His name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I cannot endure it. From the very beginning, there's been a passion, a fire in our hearts here at CIU to make Christ famous among the nations. Our first president, he wanted to go to the mission field, but the Lord redirected and he came here. Our third president served as a missionary. Our fourth president served as a missionary. Our fifth president served as a missionary. I'm our sixth president. I wanted, Debbie and I was like almost 25 years ago, we went to the office of the dean of the seminary at that point, Ken Mulholland. He was very instrumental in just mentoring me and coaching me. We said, we're ready to go to the mission field. We want to be church planters. And we want to go where we can spread the name of Christ. And he goes, God's not called you to be a missionary. I just heard, tears came up my eyes, and I was thinking, I bowed up a little bit, thinking, who are you to tell me God's will for my life? It was Ken Mulhall, and I idolized him, so I said, okay. So God led us to stay here. And what a glorious privilege to serve in this role. So there's this passion to make Christ known. Now, let's say we only just graduated 10 students a year. Not just to go over there, but to share Christ over here. Just 10 students a year, and we graduated them. Would we be happy about that? Would you be happy about that? Just 10 of us? To be equipped with the character of Christ, to learn the Scripture, to have ministry skills, and then each year we just send 10. I wouldn't be satisfied with that. Now, here are the numbers for the last few years that we've graduated. This is just since I've been serving. 2007 and 8, 311. The next year, 277. The next year, 318. Last year, 340. Now, that's exciting. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot better than 10. But I'm not satisfied. If there really is a fire in our bones that wants to speak the name of Christ, then we want to see as many people as possible equipped, educated from a biblical worldview so they can go out and impact the nations with the message of Christ. I think it'd be wonderful to see thousands. But we'll do that the year after next. Now, here's the point. Our glorious God deserves more. We want to give Him our best, and we want to get better at giving Him our best. So to penetrate the countries most needing the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to provide more specialized training than we have in the past. Now, what do I mean by that statement? 4.5 years ago, I shared this very same illustration with the trustees and the faculty. This is a map of Turkey. And then this is a picture, his face is circled, of one of our graduates. And he's sitting in his room in his apartment somewhere in Turkey, and he's surrounded by some Muslims and his language teacher. And he emailed me right after this picture was taken. He said, my heart's desire is for these men, these Muslim men, to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, when he arrived in Turkey, it was 2004. And this graph shows the number of believers, Turkish believers, in the nation of Turkey, almost 80 million people today. If you look there, 2004 is not on there. There's a group called Silas that travels the country. There are three of these people. They travel the country, and every 2 years they produce the stats. They're very well trusted by the pastors there in this Muslim nation. But when he arrived there, there was less than 2,300 Turkish believers in the country. Today there's only about 4,200. But you see, when he got there, it was about 77 million people, less than 2,300, less than 2,000 Turkish believers. And inside of him, because of his time here at CIU, there was a fire. He said, I want to make his name known. I cannot hold it in. I have to let it loose. And it began to blaze forth from him. These next four pictures, and then we'll just put them up on the screen quickly. You see him circled each time. You see four of these five men being baptized. They all came to Christ. When he arrived, there were less than 95 churches in the entire country. Today, as of Christmas, they identified Silas, this group of whom I spoke. They have identified 125 Muslim background believing churches. These Turkish Muslims trusted Christ and formed churches. I know of two other churches that have started since Christmas. the mega church over there is about 200 people. This group right in here this morning, this would represent almost 1/8 of all the Christians in the entire country of Turkey. Now, I shared this illustration. By the way, let me give you one more picture. This was taken just a few months ago. This is one of the new churches, and the student who was here started this little church. This size of this church is typical of the nation of Turkey. But it's spreading. Now, 4.5 years ago, here's what I shared. This student, this graduate, see how you graduate, got into the country because of his business training. It's not a country that just welcomes missionaries. As a matter of fact, most of the countries that need the gospel the most are the countries that resist having missionaries the most. They need the solution, Jesus, but they're closed to the solution, you, who could carry the name of Christ. He got into the country because of his business training. He's impacting the country because of his spiritual training here at CIU. So, I shared with the trustees, with the faculty, we need to continue producing the kind of student we've always produced, but we need to package them differently if they're going to get in the countries where the 1.1 billion people live who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. But it's not just over there. It's over here. I've told you before, this country's no longer a Christian country. The United States, Christianity has been marginalized. We are a post-Christian country, and I do not like to lose. We want to take this country back for Christ. And you're the ones who are going to do that. You're going to be the pastors. You're going to be the Christian counselors. You're going to be the youth ministers. How many youth ministry majors? I received this email this morning. Dear Bill, well, it's been almost 35 years since we last had contact. I see that God's taking on quite a journey. I determined to write before, but my life just kept taking me in different directions. I've heard many times throughout my life that you should thank those who impacted your journey along the way. I had visions, when you were still a professor, of wandering back into one of your classes while you were teaching and waiting until you finally asked me who I was. Well, God's timing is what it is, and I find myself headed to Charleston next week with my bride of 28 years. This is a young man. Well, he goes on to say, he says, I want to let you know God used you to set my spiritual foundation. My story includes a mother who took us to church, but a college student named Bill who invested his life in a group of pimply-faced teenagers who had little clue about life and less of a clue about a relationship with Jesus Christ was all about. You helped teach us both. You challenged me, you encouraged me, you rebuked me when I needed it. You loved me unconditionally. If you've ever wondered whether or not you've made a difference, know that this starfish... you've made a difference. I remember I took these 5 teenagers to a monastery in Georgia for a little retreat, and I shared the gospel with them. He was one that prayed to receive Christ. They got so excited, the 5 of them wrestled me to the ground, and to show their love and excitement of being brand new in Christ, to know forgiveness of God, the free gift of eternal life, they took hay from we were in a pasture, and they stuffed hay up both nostrils, and... it's not funny. <laughs> 35 years later, it's going to be the youth ministers, but it's also going to be the businessmen and women who go into the community. That's why we started the Business and Organizational Leadership Program. And God... with Michael James setting our foundation, and now Dr. Benjamin Dean. I mean, to have someone not only with his PhD, he also has his law degree, served in the first President Bush's administration, and 9 years on the mission field. And he comes in and you have a chance to sit at his feet. Last week was an exciting week to share the gospel over here for me. Last Monday, in my office, I shared the gospel with a business owner here in Columbia. Friday, in my office, I shared the gospel with a medical professional. Neither one accepted Christ. 2 days ago in church, I invited the president of one of our state banks who prayed to receive Christ February the 22nd, 5 weeks ago, and I preached 3 services Sunday morning, and in each service, I had him come and share his spiritual journey. That morning, one of the people sitting in the congregation went to one of the church staff and said, "That bank president's story is mine, except I've not crossed over." Because he shared that all of his life he thought you had to earn everything you got. You had to earn a position on the team. You had to earn a living. You had to earn people's respect. So he thought you had to earn the free gift of salvation. He said, "Then I realized 5 weeks ago, you can't earn it. You have to receive it." And so this person in church came to Christ. Then he went home because his family was in the audience listening to him. His teenage boy and girl began asking him, "Daddy, now explain it again. We've been to church all our lives." So, it's not just over there, it's over here. We need to raise up men and women who love Jesus and have that fire in their bones to make Him known everywhere. Not just there, over there, but here. Okay, so what needs to happen to accomplish this goal? The next four and a half years, which is 5 academic years, we want to take 3 strategic steps. So, let me explain something. This has been billed as the Vision Chapel. Each year, if you're new to CIU, I try to update you as the students where we're headed. Our purpose has never changed. We educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Our vision has not changed. Our vision is we want to produce as many professional ministers as we possibly can and as many ministering professionals as we possibly can. That's what a biblical university is all about. To put it in the words of the first president, we offer the spiritual advantages of the Bible college movement and the cultural advantages of the Christian liberal arts college movement. We want to put the two together. As many professional ministers and as many ministering professionals. We may not all be called to full-time ministry, but we're all called to minister full-time. That's what we want. Okay, so we're going to take 3 steps of action over the next 4.5 years. Here's what they are. Number one, if we're going to realize our full potential before God, we need to increase and improve. Now that's not improve, it means the training, our graduates by adding new academic programs. 1800s, if you were a medical doctor, you could get in any country in the world. Today you can't. Because they have their own standards, have to learn their language, pass their boards, etc. But there are some packaging in the 21st century that can get us in anywhere. So we need to find those programs. Number two, we need to properly care for you by providing the necessary facilities. Now we've almost finished all the resident halls, remodeling outside and inside. We still need to remodel the inside of Founders and Walker. I went through Petty yesterday with Andrew Monk. It seems fine, just as it is. And thirdly, we need to ensure the future stability of the university by growing our endowment. All right, so let's look at each 3 of these steps. Adding new academic programs. The deans and the faculty, each year, they start in the fall, and the deans work with the faculty, and by Christmas time, all the deans come together, and we listen to the programs, the proposed programs and academic goals. Here's where we are right now. Now, time out. Don't look up there. Look right here. The emphasis is on clarity of where we're going, not certainty of where we're going. You hear me? So this is still, we're still being, it's still being massaged. So some things here and there may be changed. But this is what's on the table right now. New programs. The business major, we're just waiting on final approval from one more accrediting agency. So everybody's checked off except for one, and we're just waiting any day. Business major, English major, secondary education major, biology major, a sports leadership major. And the first graduates that get out of there, I expect them within 5 years to lead six Tebows to Christ. Okay, a dozen. All right. Youth ministry, master's, a master's degree in youth ministry. By the way, some of you may think, since I had the privilege of starting the youth ministry major, I may be a little biased. You're correct. I'm reading a book right now. I've almost finished it. It's by Patrick Johnstone, who wrote Operation World. It's like a coffee table book. It's called The Future of the Global Church. Page 122, the bottom left-hand corner, it says, "Why is the church not devoting more resources to youth ministry since most of the people around the world come to Christ before the age of 18? Lead them to Christ. Even if they cram hay up your nose, okay? I mean, you'd rather go to the mission field than do an all-nighter, a lock-in all night long. That's online program. Take our general studies major and put it online. Theological studies master's online. Counseling master's online. Teaching English as foreign language master's online. And then we want to supercharge the communications major. And we want to get K-CREPT accreditation for the counseling. The government has just said that all the programs need to have this accreditation. We were already in the process. We'll be one of the first Christian universities out of the funnel. It takes 5 years to get this. We were already headed that way, but it takes a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy. We've already devoted that. So if that's what, when? This is just an idea of when these programs could be coming on. I was going to say online, don't want to confuse you. Could be taking place. This coming fall, the business major, an online general studies major. Next fall, a year and a half from now, English, sports leadership, youth ministry masters, online theological masters, and the online TEFL masters. 2 years from now, secondary education major, supercharged communications major, and then the counseling masters online. And then fall 2015, possibly the biology major. The further out you get, the little more uncertain it becomes. And then the K-CREPT accreditation for counseling. Well, what about the necessary facilities? Now, did I promise you anything? No. Have I presented you something? Yes. Okay. Now, Lord willing, the deans and faculty have it done by next Christmas, all of it. So, all right, facilities, the athletic fields. We heard 2 weeks ago before we left on spring break that someone has made they didn't want us to tell you the amount. And so you didn't know how much to rejoice or not. But I want you to know it was a lot of zeros. A whole lot of zeros. And then a figure in front. It's not like all zeros. There was a... So we're going to get the athletic fields going. And then, drum roll please, the student center will be remodeled. We're going to add three cheers, all right? Now, as Lord, you've heard, I think you've heard that this spring is the largest spring enrollment in the history of the school. Last fall was the second largest fall enrollment in terms of full-time equivalency. You take the part-timers and squish them together and make a full-time person. Six legs, you know, just... If we keep growing, you know, the line to the cafeteria would start in here, you know, and as we meander that way. So we have to change some things. The cafeteria has to be changed so we can service you quickly and easily, and you're not standing in line for 3 days. Shortest chapel. We're going to have to expand here, our chapel. By fire code, we're limited to 999. I don't get it, but that was it. Now the faculty will stand up and shout hallelujah for this one. Fisher Classroom Building.
Yes.
So, okay, not just... We have to do something there. Now, this is my... Next door, which was, you have to understand, these buildings right here in campus, the administration, Fisher, chapel, library, and next door were the original buildings. They're all about 50 years old. Next door, which you know as the distance ed building, was the original cafeteria. It was built to be a temporary building. Now, so when we build a permanent one, you know, it's here to stay. So the roof has finally gone. We can spend $250,000 on the roof or spend some extra money and really make a building, a two-story building. May have to just mow it down. Now, I want you to understand something. You've heard the story of me praying with the Board of Trustees that God would strike a fire under the students that graduated the next week. And the next morning, the library burned down. And I told you, I haven't prayed for the campus since. Well, I started praying again a month ago when I saw how beautiful the library turned out. And Keith Marion did such a marvelous job. I've started praying for this building next door. And right before spring break, you know, we had the tornado go through campus. Here's the path that it went. I'm grateful it bypassed the apartments. I'm grateful it bypassed the student center and the gym and all the residence halls. I was really disappointed it missed this. But persevere in your prayers and God will answer. So anyway, this is a picture of our campus 2 years ago. And in terms of the most updated Google map, here's the campus today. It doesn't show the remodeling of the founders, Walker and Petty. But this is what could be our campus in the future. This is kind of our master plan. And you know, we're in the process of building the fifth apartment building right now and a campus community center, which will be used primarily for those in the apartments. So we want to have a campus that meets your needs. Now, doesn't mean we're going to not push hard on online delivery. We want to be able to service educationally every person we possibly can anywhere in the world. But those that come here, we want to have the campus you deserve. Third and final step, increasing the endowment. Now, this shows the private schools, private universities here in South Carolina. And if you notice up there that CIU is 14th in terms of endowment. Now, I think I showed you this back in the fall. This is an independent analysis of the universities in South Carolina, public and private. And you notice that of all the universities in our state, we rank sixth, which speaks volumes to your professors. As a matter of fact, I think they deserve a big round of applause. Don't they? The previous year, we ranked seventh. Dr. Jim Lamfer came on as our provost over the summer. We immediately popped to sixth. So just wait what happens in 2 or 3 years. Now, but if you notice that of the private schools that were ranked fourth, and if you look at the endowment of the three that are ranked ahead of us, the endowments are just unbelievably larger than ours. Now, so many of our students have gone into the ministry. And so, and they give. And when you graduate, I want you to give so we can have scholarship funds to educate future classes, generations of CIU students. But if somebody graduates with a business degree and is making a salary that's 10 times higher than a pastor, you can see how the endowments would grow much bigger over the years. So, we want to strengthen the endowment. I was thinking about writing a $10 million check and just catching us up a lot, and all I could do was think about it. I couldn't do it. So we're going to pray and trust God. God, would you please provide for these students, you students, so when you graduate, you can impact the nations, not just over there, but over here with the message of Jesus Christ. Well, these three steps are be divided into two phases. You've seen on campus this little card, forward. We have about a year and a half in this strategic plan. And then we'll launch, it just happened to work out this way, in 2013, we begin celebrating our 90th anniversary as a university. 90th anniversary as a university. That's, praise the Lord. That we're calling the 90th anniversary strategic plan. It's real creative. And that'll last 3 years. So over the next 4.5 years, these three steps, because we want our CIU students, this comes out of the Gospel of Mark, actually chapter 1, verse 45. We want CIU students to spread the news. This is the leper. That is chapter 2, end of chapter 2. He spread the news to such an extent that people were coming to Jesus from everywhere. So Jesus could not publicly enter a city. He had to stay out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. We want you to spread the news about to such an extent that people come to Jesus from everywhere, on the mission field, through the local church, and in the marketplace. Let's pray. Father, almost everything we put up here has a price tag to it. And adding all those price tags together is quite expensive. But Father, we believe that you deserve much more. We want to send many more people into the marketplace, many more people into local church ministry, many more people to the mission field, until every tongue, tribe, and nation has representation as they worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father God, would you provide for us? Would you empower us through your Holy Spirit? Would you allow us to make Jesus Christ, your Son, famous in this generation? In his name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.